In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A text from our first lesson from the book of Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. In 1742, Handel's oratorio, Messiah, received its first performance in Dublin. It was politely received, but there was nothing in the first audience's response to the piece to suggest the extraordinary status that it would acquire, especially in England. Only when Handel arranged performances back in London in aid of the Foundling Hospital did it become apparent that Messiah had an exceptional appeal. By the 19th century, a performance of Messiah had become an inevitable part of the musical festivals held up and down the country to raise funds for local charities, especially hospitals and orphanages. And every nonconformist chapel in Victorian Britain seems to have given an annual performance of the oratorio. Meanwhile, at the Crystal Palace, orchestras and choirs, consisting of hundreds of players and singers, mounted triennial Handel festivals between the 1850s and 1920s, which invariably included a mammoth performance of Messiah. Yet in many ways, Messiah is not a typical Handel oratorio. Unlike Samson or Saul, there is no surface narrative, nor are there named characters. As a contemporary musicologist has put it, Messiah is a meditation rather than a drama of personalities, lyrical in method. The narrative of the story is carried on by implication, and there is no dialogue. Handel's approach, in collaboration with his librettist, Charles Jennings, was to use passages of Scripture to illuminate God's saving work in Christ and to show how it fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. This is particularly apparent in the first two sections, dealing with the birth of the Messiah, and then his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. The third section turns to Paul's teaching on the resurrection of the dead and concludes with the stirring chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," followed by a protracted Amen. But it's introduced by another backwards glance to the Old Testament, and the words that form my text. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. Handel's musical setting of this soprano aria is generally agreed to be one of the most perfect he ever wrote. It seems to have touched a particular chord. The composer seems to have responded in an especially personal way to the sentiment of the words. Why should this have been? Handel, of course, is an honorary Englishman. His most musically productive years were spent here, and it was here that he achieved his most conspicuous successes. But he was born in Halle, in Germany, in 1685, and was brought up as a Lutheran. As Handel was growing up, Halle became a center of a reform movement within Lutheranism known as Pietism. It was a reaction against what some felt was the lifeless, official Protestantism of the time, which the reformers believed had ceased to be a living faith. So they formed devotional circles for prayer and Bible reading, for mutual edification and meditation. They wrote hymns, which particularly stressed personal devotion to the Redeemer and emphasised the importance of personal conviction in matters of faith. Although most pietists remained within the official Lutheran Church, there are many parallels with the Methodists here in England. They also embraced an obligation to engage in works of charity. In Halle, when Handel was growing up, pietists built a complex which included an orphanage, medical clinic, schools, and a library. Perhaps this helps to explain Handel's later support for Thomas Coram's Foundling Hospital in London. With this understanding of his background, the conception of Handel's Messiah becomes less surprising. It is, as we said, an extended meditation on the story of salvation, especially as it reaches its prophesied climax in the coming of the Messiah and his triumphant vindication. But it also has a strong personal note, and nowhere more so than in the aria which opens part three of the oratorio. I know that my Redeemer liveth. For Handel, with his experience of pietism, we can imagine what a powerful impact that text, with its conviction of a personal relationship with a risen Saviour, may have had. The opening musical phrase, shaped by the composer to emphasize the word know, I know that my Redeemer liveth, has the character of a highly personal expression of faith, one that is marked by quiet confidence, trust, and fearlessness in the face of human mortality. Handel believes that he will indeed see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold his Saviour. The notes describe a living, trusting Easter faith. It can be so for us too. The original context of these verses from Job, together with difficult questions about their original form, has been transcended by their later interpretation as a peerless expression of Christian hope. Christ the Redeemer lives, and because he lives, so shall we, and all those for whom he goes to prepare a place, the high priest who intercedes for us, the good shepherd who knows all his sheep. In other words, from St. Paul, that Handel included in his oratorio, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Let us pray. As we think of Handel and his great oratorio, let us give thanks to God for the gift of music, especially music in the service of religion. O God, who in the gift of music hath given us a revelation of thy divine beauty, teach us to love thee in all thy gifts, and so to devote ourselves in all our work to thy glory, that through music we may be raised from the sorrows of this world to the enjoyment of thy divine beauty, through thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And remembering the strong strain of charitable good works in pietism and in so much of the religion of the 18th century, let us pray for all those in our own day who go in need, giving thanks for those who seek to relieve their need and praying for ourselves that we may have our eyes open to the needs of those around us and may respond generously. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, regard, we beseech thee, with thy divine pity, the pains of all thy children, and grant that the passion of our Lord and his infinite love may make fruitful for good the tribulations of the innocent, the sufferings of the sick, and the sufferings of the bereaved. Through him who suffered in our flesh and died for our sake, the same thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We gather our prayers together, saying the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 558.